If you don't get worry under control and understand what's underneath it, if you don't get that under control, it will just continue to exponentially exaggerate and get worse and worse and worse as you get more successful. How do we not worry? Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Ken. Today, we're in Matthew 6. I'm going to go verse 25 to 34. Now, this is Jesus. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of his most famous sermon. It is chock full of just great principles for success. Maybe in other devos, I'll break down some other areas. It's fascinating how simple Jesus communicates in this particular passage about the ways to live a successful life, the ways to live a healthy and thriving life. And what's funny, can be funny. What's interesting about the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus, in all the areas, peels back the surface. And so everything about the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus going underneath the thing. It's the thing behind the thing. All right, it's deep. And just for the sake of context, he's preaching this to people that were following him. I don't know if they were all believers or if they were all Christians, but they were people who were following. So this is not like, he's not preaching it to people who are not interested in the ways of God or what he's saying. He's preaching it to potentially believers, right? And this is really interesting. So this is the area, this is the passage about worry. Now, worry and anxiety is like an epidemic in our culture today, right? It's taken over everything. And I meet lots of entrepreneurs who are anxious and worried. My students, the people I coach, a lot of times, you know, they're running businesses and they're anxious about like it going away or, you know, income and all these different things. And I can relate. Maybe you can, especially as a man, especially as an entrepreneur, I can certainly relate to provision. Like this, the lie, which is I am the one responsible to provide for, and you fill in the blank, your family, your team, you know, your customers, the people around you, whatever that is, right? Provision is something that a lot of entrepreneurs seem to be anxious about, especially like the bigger and more successful you get, right? It actually gets exaggerated, right? And so maybe you're hoping for some massive success. Maybe you're doing something at a smaller level right now, and you're hoping for some massive success. If you don't get worry under control and understand what's underneath it, if you don't get that under control, and I'll talk about some ways that I think Jesus shares with us about how to do that. If you don't, it will just continue to exponentially exaggerate and get worse and worse and worse as you get more successful. And wouldn't that be horrible, right? The more successful you become, the more you'll not enjoy your life if you allow worry to even get a foothold and if you don't eliminate it right now. And so entrepreneurs struggle with this all the time. There's sadly, some of the most anxious people I meet sometimes. And it's because there's so much pressure, you know, and often you're alone, right? You can't share things with other people. You can't share problems with other people. A lot of times, other people shouldn't have the ability or the need to hear these things. Sometimes don't have the capacity to hear them. And sometimes you're alone, right? And sometimes a lot of pressure on you. And you have big dreams and big ambitions and you grow things, right? And then challenges come or uncertainty comes. And that can produce a lot of worry. And it really comes down to your spiritual health. So maybe, I don't know, I know I'm doing a big preface here, but like, I assume that you're probably interested in some of the ways of God, and you're definitely an entrepreneur, an ambitious person, a high performer, something like that, if you're in our community, if you're listening to this. But one of the greatest benefits, I tell this people, one of the greatest benefits of having a deep relationship, a spiritual relationship, building your spiritual muscle with your maker is it's one of the highest leverage ways to build a business and to build success. And it's one of the best ways to do it and actually enjoy doing it. Okay, because the buck doesn't stop with you if you're doing it God's way. That's one of the great benefits to doing this. Business, whether you like it or not, is a spiritual game. High performance ambition is a spiritual game. And so you need to dig into these things. They're just required if you want to be successful. Now, the cool thing is God gave us all of the principles to success in the Bible. And if you're following those principles, if you're leveraging those principles, then you can create a lot of success. And if you're going against them, then you're going to have a lot of friction and challenges, and it's going to be really difficult, right? And so that's really what this podcast is about. And so let me read verses 25 to 34, and then I'm going to break down a few ideas that I think, observations I think that we can pull out of this as high-performing people. All right. So, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay. So this little passage, it's funny, Jesus talks about worry a few times, but this little passage has always been one of my favorites. I guess maybe in all of my ambitions, sometimes I'm prone to worrying about things. I've noticed that about myself as I've kind of grown up. When you have high hopes and you set your heart on something, you're prone to worry about that thing. And so this has always been one of my favorites because it shows us what we're supposed to be like, right? We're not supposed to be in a state of anxiety. Now, I realize that if you're someone who has worry right now, or you might be anxious, right? Telling you not to worry probably just makes you worry more, right? And so what I'm going to try and do is break down some things that may be practical here, some observations. But first, what I want to look at is, what is worry, right? I think we all often, I think our culture spins worry the wrong way, all right? So worry is not fear. Fear is caution around like a real and present danger, something that is happening right now that's fear. You got a lion in front of you, your house is on fire, someone's pointing a gun at you, whatever that is fear. Fear is current danger, right? That is fear. Worry is caution over a future imagined danger, right? So I often say, I talk about how our minds and creativity, I've talked about a lot about belief, a a lot about expectation, a lot about how creativity, those three things are superpowers that we have to actually bring the future into existence, right? And that's literally what you're doing when you're building stuff. You're bringing the future into existence in miraculous ways. We take that for granted sometimes, but as human beings, we have this like miraculous power, this superpower to imagine something and make it a reality. Well, worry is actually that superpower working against you. Worry is imagining something negative, right? It's actually expecting an undesirable outcome for something and making it happen, like bringing it into the present, right? So it's something imagined in the future that is negative, that you don't want to happen. And then you're actually feeling that pain now versus in the future. Now, what's really interesting about that is what we focus on expands. It actually is more likely to happen, right? So not only is worry stealing from right now, but worry is stealing from your future. Worry is stealing from your potential, because the more you worry, when you worry about something, it means you're focusing on the undesirable outcome of some situation. Okay. And so there are two sides of every situation. There's this law in physics called the law of polarity. I've talked about it before. It basically says there are two sides of everything in the world, in the universe, physical and not physical. In every situation, in everything, there's always two sides of that thing. There's no one-sided coin. There's no one-sided situation. Now, it may not be easy to see the other side because of where our focus is, but there are two sides of things. Worry is focusing on the undesirable side of the situation that you're thinking about. And it's taking your imagination and it's leveraging that against you, right? To make that thing more likely to happen. So not only is it stealing your energy right now and hurting you right now today about something that's not even in existence, but it's actually hurting your potential, because as you focus on that thing, it is more likely to happen. Now, worry is a decision, just like any focus is a decision, because it's about focus, right? So worry is simply focus. So you could decide to focus on the whatever you want. And so worry is focusing on the undesirable outcome. You can just as easily, or I say just as easily, I realize it's not always easy, but you can just as easily focus on the other side of that and expect the positive outcome of the thing. And here's what's cool about it is when you expect the positive outcome of the thing, that thing is more likely to happen, right? Because what you focus on expands, and you literally just, the same way you imagine things and bring them into existence, you imagine situations and bring them into existence. Now you may say, wow, that's like very mysterious and all this, but it's practical. Like subconsciously, you will move towards what you focus on. And there are miraculous sides of this, but the truth is like practically speaking, when you focus on something, you're more likely to bring that about with all the various things, the way you act, your energy, the actions that you take, you know. I'm not going to get into this. It's a whole sidebar. I've actually done different episodes on this, but there's something called the success cycle. And it basically says that when you think about negative things, you take negative action, you get negative results, and then you think about negative things and it continues. That's the negative side, right? And you can use that to your advantage in a success cycle. That's what worrying does. A success cycle is thinking positive things, expecting positive things, taking positive action with energy, and getting more positive results and focusing on the positive sides of results and then continuing to perpetuate that. That is the success cycle. And worry is the opposite of that, okay? And so I really wanted to first dig into what is worry, because I think that a lot of people don't know. It's something they feel, but it's not something that they can practically understand. And so once we practically understand what it is, now we can start doing something with it, okay? And so let's get into like the first takeaway here. Like first takeaway is really clear. And what Jesus says is like, worry is not worth it. And I just mentioned like worry is the thief of your dreams, right? Not only is it the thief of your dreams, but it is the thief of all your energy today. And what Jesus is simply saying is, stop wasting today's energy on tomorrow's problems. And we all, I think, need to hear that. I know I do, right? This doesn't mean don't plan. It's about controlling your focus, right? Planning is wise, but then it gets put aside. Worry is not wise. It's wasting today's energy, which is limited, on tomorrow's problems, potential problems, problems that don't exist yet and may never exist, right? That also means that you have less energy to deal with today, which then causes more problems tomorrow, right? And so worry and anxiety doesn't empty tomorrow of the sorrows of tomorrow. It only empties today of today's strength. That's the first kind of thing I wanted to bring out, is worry is simply not worth it. Now, I think we can all get on board with that. It makes a lot of sense. But let's look at this. Like, it's interesting how it talks about in verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? I think it's interesting, this analogy regarding like things that don't have spirit, like consciousness, and just like, you know, like grass and lilies and birds. I was thinking, have you ever seen a worried bird? I don't think I have. Now, he's certainly not saying that bad things won't happen. In fact, it says grass gets thrown into the fire. Bad things happen to birds, right? Like, you've all eaten a Chick-fil-A. They, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of birds they kill and eat every day, which I'm all for. It's great. But point is bad things happen to birds. So in a sense, Jesus is not saying bad things won't happen. He's just saying that worrying about those potential things is not worth it, right? It's not saying everything's going to be all right. It's just saying you can't stress out about things being all right. And there's a notable difference between how believers manage worry and how unbelievers manage worry. And the root of the worry is, and this, we're going to get to this, is seeking after the world versus seeking after the kingdom of God. And so we're going to get to this. But it's just interesting how when you look at these things, God takes care of the needs of all of these things. Well, it doesn't mean bad things don't happen to them. It just means you can't worry about bad things happening. You can only be concerned about what's in front of you today, because you can't go into the future and change that. I also think it's interesting that it says, and I like this, you know, I know growth is like a big, like, emphasis on my life, because I think it's such a powerful thing. It's a fulfilling thing. We're made to grow. Growth is rewarding. It's also difficult. And if you're in this community, you're probably focused on growth. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. There's movement, even like worry slows down movement. Worry slows down growth. The lilies of the field grow. One of the reasons, because they're not worrying about stuff. It would be hard, I believe, in my life to grow. And it's funny, when I'm worried about something, I'm able to take less action to mitigate that worry. This is the ironic thing about it, because I'm focused on the worry. And so, like, if I'm worried about new business or new sales or something like that, or whatever it may be, a business endeavor that I'm going into, the worrying often paralyzes you and takes away the energy that you're going to use to actually help make that thing not happen, right? Mitigate that thing and actually create growth. So I feel like it seems interesting how worry kind of counteracts growth. Just going a little bit deeper, we worry about what we worship. And so, and this is kind of getting into the later part of these verses, but if you seek money first, then you worry about that. If you seek beauty first, then you worry about that. If you, you know, worship the approval of others, then you worry about that. If you seek security first, then you worry about that. If you seek success first, then you worry about that. When you're free, and this is from the later verses here, right? Seeking first the kingdom of God. It seems to me, and this is critical, this is key. People miss this. Like, it says first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say only, it says first. And I would say only still encompasses these things because success and money and wealth and all and health and all these things are part of the kingdom of God. But the point here is the word first. When you're free from seeking these things first, like it seems like you're free to enjoy God's provision. And God's provision is for God's people. I've talked about this so many times before. Like the idea that God's people are meant to be weak and poor and sad is not the case. That's not in the Bible. It's like it's a satanic principle. God's people are meant to be happy, joyful, have abundant minds, successful, wealthy. Like this is what, like the goodness is for God's people. I've done other devos breaking down verses on those things. And worry steals your joy. And so that's why, like, worry is for the pagans, it says here. It's not for God's people. Because God's people are meant to be joyful people. And joyful people are not worried people. Have you ever tried to be anxious and happy, or anxious and fulfilled, or anxious and joyful? Like those two things often do not work together. And that's what's so sad about having, you know, I don't know what the stats are, but like the most anxious population, you know, in recorded history or something like that. You can't be happy and fulfilled and anxious. Like they don't work together. And so God's people should rid themselves of that, especially God's leaders, God's entrepreneurs, God's business owners. And so anyway, I just want to keep getting into this. So the interesting other thing is God is our Father, right? And what does a father do? He provides for you. He protects you. He wants the best for you. He teaches you. I have kids. And I would never do things to intentionally harm them. However, I do things or put them in situations that'll help them grow. And sometimes it's painful for them. In their world, sometimes it's things I don't want. I coach several soccer teams of my kids. A few of them have won championships. And, just saying. And what's interesting is you don't win a championship if you're not challenged, and challenging things are hard. And when they're hard, they can be painful, like training situations or whatever else, right? But those kids are not worried about me not wanting them to win the championship. They trust in the process. Now, if they knew my coaching experience, maybe they shouldn't. But with God, what's really powerful and what's really relaxing and peaceful is to think that He is our Father. And so what's interesting, the unbelievers, the pagans, they worry because they're not God's people. But for you, if you're following God, if you're His people, you don't have to worry because He's your Father. He takes care of you. All right. I just want to emphasize in the last verses, and then I've got a little takeaway for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seeking first the kingdom of God. But is interesting. The Bible is a bunch of if-then statements, right? And so you get all this peace if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then not only do you not get to worry, but all these things, right? All these things, the clothes, the provision, the food, all these things, all the things mentioned. You get all these things and they'll be added unto you in addition to you not having to worry. And so here's what the question, like to me, what begs the question. The question that seems to maybe be the stumbling block for moving forward, at least for me. Okay, great. Don't worry. Thanks, Jesus. How do we not worry? Because it seems like, and I know I experience this, like when I'm worried about something, it seems really hard to adjust my focus. We know that now we understand worry. We know we're focusing on the negative side, but still changing that to the positive side seems really hard. So how do we not worry? So part of it, I think right here is in verse 33. How to not worry is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here's what's interesting. I've talked about the idea of action habits. If you haven't heard that episode, go check it out. I'll link to it. In science, we realize that it's been proven that there's a sequence of events, right, and how people feel and think and act, right? So typically goes feelings, think, thoughts, and then actions. That's how most people operate. So most people operate out of feelings, right? They feel like doing something, or they feel not like they're not doing something, or they shouldn't do something, or don't want to do something. And so they create thoughts and stories around that, and then they create actions around those thoughts and stories. The way to change your feelings is by taking actions. Actions blindly, actions in ways that you don't feel like start to change your feelings. A great example of this is working out. Okay, so I train several times a week. There are a lot of days where I don't feel like training. If I just followed that feeling, I just wouldn't do it, right? But in the kind of workout space, there's this idea of just start doing it. Just start, right? And so when you don't feel like training, you go and you just start doing it. Like you just start lifting weights and doing the cardio, whatever the heck you're doing, right? You start taking action, and then the feelings will come, the thoughts will come, and the feelings will come. It actually is the way to change your feelings is by taking action. And I think what's interesting here is Jesus talks about action. He doesn't talk about changing how you think. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking is an action. And his righteousness. You don't have to change how you think. You don't have to change how you feel. All you have to do is seek, right? And seeking, we all know how to do that. So that's kind of interesting. And so what is seeking the kingdom? What is that? Well, the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God and bringing it to earth is this idea of bringing God's ways down to earth, right? And that these are things like delighting in his laws. And I talk about the laws of success that are written in the Bible. It's bringing his ways down, right? That is seeking the kingdom. How does his kingdom work? By the way, it's not a mystery. Like he's given it to us right here, which is really fascinating. But how does his kingdom work? We seek that. We pursue it. What are the success principles? Like seek those things. And when you do that, you end up with wisdom, you end up with foresight, and the ability to plan accordingly in order to create abundance, because you're leveraging the success principles that are built into the universe. And all these things, the result is you don't have to worry as much, right? The things that you're worried about, when you have the wisdom and you understand how they work and you're taking the right action, end up not being the things that you're worrying about. And that's just a practical breakdown, at least of what I see in the idea of seeking the kingdom. Like practically, how does that change your worry? I believe that seeking the kingdom and understanding the laws of success and the laws that the things that govern what you're worrying about, once you understand those, you can take appropriate action on them. You don't have to worry about them as much. So what that's one part of it. What is righteousness? Righteousness is interesting. I'm going to read a little definition of righteousness. Righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God, including his character, his nature, his conscience, his actions, his conduct, and his words. So righteousness is based on God's standard, because he's the ultimate lawgiver. He's the one who made the laws. So in essence, righteousness is being in line with God's laws. I used to think God's laws were like these rigid set of, judiciary laws that are, he's looking for you to break and punish you. And then I was made aware many, many years ago that that is not what God's laws are. God's laws are the principles that govern the universe, the principles of success. You can either work with them and find success and abundance and happiness inside of that, or you can work against them. Now, a lot of people work against them because they don't know them. And other people work against them because they reject them. But either way, when you're working against them, things are hard. When you're working with them, things are a lot easier. And righteousness is being in line with those things, the morals, the character, the way you do your daily life, being in line with the way God lays it out is righteousness. When you're seeking that righteousness, turns out it removes worry, right? Because you understand how things work, and you don't have to worry about those things, right? And so, to me, when I've thought back about the things that I feel worried about, typically, it's the things that you're maybe not doing the right, you're doing something wrong, right? You know you're not doing all you can, and so you worry about it, right? Have you ever felt worried when you're doing all that you should do about a thing? Have you ever felt worried about something that you've and you're doing all that is possible and you're doing it the right way? I would say for most people, that's not the case. A lot of us know what we should be doing and are not doing it, which is why we're worried, right? And so that goes with moral things. That also goes with business things, right? Sometimes we're worried about, the income or something like that, and we know we're not doing certain activities that would generate that thing. That's the case as I think back when I've been worried. It's I'm not taking action or enough action in the area that I should. Maybe I'm doing something that I know is not in line with God's principles, his character or his plans for me. Maybe I'm not doing all that I could do to eliminate the threat that I'm worried about. Maybe I'm procrastinating something that I know that I should do. Or maybe I'm not living in the identity that God has for me, right? I call it owning your greatness. When I'm worried about something, maybe I'm not living in the identity that he actually gave to me to own my greatness, how he made me, the confidence that I have in who he made me to be. So those are just some ideas. It's funny, if you think about someone who's worried about their income being disrupted, it's likely that they aren't doing all the things that they could do to eliminate that threat, potentially, right? I work with e-commerce businesses all the time. I coach a lot of entrepreneurs and owners of these businesses. And turns out when there's anxiety around a certain thing, it's often something that they know that they should be doing differently. They're just not, right? A lot of businesses, for example, depend on one marketing channel. Facebook ads is a great example, right? So if you're in that world, A lot of businesses depend on that, right? And they're worried that, you know, if their account gets shut off, like, you know, something's going to happen. Yet, oftentimes they don't want to make the investment to diversify away from that channel. So they just stay anxious about that channel, right? And so a lot of times for me, when you really analyze what you're worried about, it's possible, it's likely even, at least in my experience, that the thing you're worried about is actually due to you're not taking action that you know you should be taking, or maybe you're going against the things that you know to be right. And so just to kind of wrap up, worry and eliminating worry is clearly something that I'm sure all of us can get on board with. But understanding why it's there inside of our own lives and what is underneath it and how to and how it works is really the key to eliminating it. It turns out it comes down to simple actions to eliminate worry, because God's plan for his people is not to be an anxious people. Worry is the thief of your dreams. Worry is the thief of your potential. Worry is the thief of your joy. It's the thief of all of the energy today, worrying about something that might happen tomorrow, rather than being able to leverage that energy into actually doing something that you're supposed to be doing that maybe eliminates that worry tomorrow. And wouldn't it be a fascinating plan for the enemy to keep you from doing the right things, just to cripple you with anxiety and worry? Like, I believe that that's happening probably on a big level in our world. Probably these devices are probably a big part of it, phones and things like that. And on that note, with regard to devices, I do think they're a big part of it. Not only it's actually proven. There's a lot of data and studies currently coming out that phones and internet connectivity and social media is basically one of the roots of all the anxiety and all the mental challenges and all the other things. And pretty soon I'm gonna be working with someone. I'll be sharing them with you that has a really good resource on how to eliminate that and still leverage these devices. And so anyway, I hope this was helpful in helping you live out a high performance, more successful life. If you'd like to learn more about the Business Devo, maybe get these in your inbox or text to you, you can go to bizdevo.com. That's bizdevo.com. And if you'd like to learn more about me, you can go to kenott.com. That's kenott.com. Thanks. And until next time, never stop growing.